Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. December 2020, Linton, Derbyshire. Jacob Crunch's life was not comfortable, and he was never cared for by the two individuals who were supposed to adhere to his needs as an infant. His short 10 months was filled with violence from his mother and stepfather that he could not escape. What Craig Crouch and Gemma Barton did to their baby in their home is utterly unforgivable. This is Jacob's story.
As baby Jacob played, they joked about him being dead.
Everything all right?
Mm-hmm.
Very quiet in there. Have you killed him?
No.
Or blame you if you had.
In the middle of 2019, Gemma Barton was living in Derbyshire, England. She was pregnant and freshly single. The unborn baby's father, Andrew Smith, was abusive and their relationship toxic. Andrew was even charged and sentenced with battery against her. Andrew would later testify during the criminal trial that he never even got to meet his son. Now, a lot of that is on him and the decisions he made, but that is a discussion for another day. I digress. In September 2019, four-month-old pregnant Gemma was on the dating site Plenty of Fish, where she would meet a man named Craig Crouch. Now, at first, Craig would later state that he thought Gemma was out of his league, but the two quickly hit it off. Their relationship moving at breakneck speed. Not long after meeting, the two moved in together. Gemma fell in love fast, ignoring many red flags that were obvious to everyone, including her family. Because the thing is, even though Gemma believed Craig to be this great guy, he was a huge liar. He had told Gemma multiple things about his life and jobs that simply weren't true. Craig actually worked as a forklift driver at a company called JCB Manufacturing. But he told Gemma that he was a supervisor of thousands of employees because he was the director at the company, that he had access to the company's private helicopter, that he was scheduled to meet the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, that he had a salary of £70,000, which in reality was more than double of what he actually made. Gemma introduced Craig to her family on Boxing Day 2019, and this is a holiday country such as Australia and the UK celebrate the day after Christmas. During this visit, Craig was boasting about his achievements, how well he was doing at work, and about his new Jaguar car. Right away, Gemma's family weren't the biggest fans of Craig. They saw through everything he was saying, believing he was trying too hard to impress her. Gemma's father, Malcolm Barton, said that Craig told huge and unbelievable lies. When his daughter told him that she decided to give the baby Craig's last name, he thought it was rather inappropriate and became even more suspicious of Craig's intentions. But Craig kept up the ruse, promising Gemma this huge wedding and a brand new car. There is this very cringy TikTok the couple made, and you can just tell how uncomfortable Gemma was.
Babe, I've come to realise why you're so ugly. It's because you've got makeup on all the time. You go and take it off.
I ain't got none on.
Oh. Okay. You're still beautiful, though. You're still, honestly, you're really beautiful. It's a natural beauty. Natural beauty. That's what it is. Yeah. You're sure you've got the makeup on?
You keep digging.
You're sure you've got the makeup on?
Do I put the fade down?
Now, it seems obvious that Gemma was overlooking some huge red flags in the relationship. Additionally, there was this very strange ramblings that Craig had sent Gemma at one point. In this voice message, he explains his view about how there is always a hierarchy, including in the home.
As human beings, we tend to follow a hierarchy. What this means is there always has to be a leader in everything that we do. Look at workplace business. You would never have two managers or two directors or two team leaders over the same amount of people, over the same department, earning the same amount of money. You just wouldn't have it. You have a chain of command. For example, there is nobody here in exactly the same job that I have, over the same people, over the same departments. I answer for everyone. Everyone below me answers to me. If they f*** up, I get my ass kicked. And then it goes down the chain of command. This also has to stand at home. There is always a hierarchy. Anyway, I should be finished soon. I'll love you to bits. I can't wait to see you.
We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. Jacob Crouch was born February 17th, 2020, and Craig was the one there for Gemma basically throughout her entire pregnancy, making all these empty promises to her and what he was going to provide for her and their son. And so, even though he wasn't biologically the father, Gemma still decided to list Craig as such on Jacob's birth certificate, also giving Jacob Craig's surname of Crouch.
Ambulance, is the patient breathing?
No, he's passed away.
Okay, tell me exactly what happened.
We've got a 10-month-old baby. He was struggling to eat last night. He brought up his dinner. We put him to bed. We kept checking him throughout the night. My partner checked him at 5 o'clock. She told me that he was okay. Everything was fine. I've just gone in to go and check in, and he's stone cold. He's gone.
Okay, this isn't delaying any help. Help's coming as fast as it possibly can. Okay, you right.
Thank you very much.
Are you right with the patient now?
I believe he's asleep at the moment.
Okay, so I'm organising that help for you. Stay on the line. I'll tell you exactly what to do next. Are you right by the baby now?
No, I'm in the master bedroom.
Okay, are you able to go to the baby?
Yes. Darling, stay there. Yes, I'm with him now.
You're with him now? Okay, so listen carefully. Lay the baby flat on their back on the floor and remove anything from under his head.
Hold on a second, please. Yes. Yes, I've done that.
Okay, so kneel next to the baby and look in the mouth for food or vomit.
He's covered in this black stuff. I don't know what it is.
Right. So kneel
next... My partner says it looks like he's been sick, but it's... Yeah.
So kneel next to the baby, look in the mouth for food or vomit. Is there anything in the mouth?
No, I can't see nothing.
So now place your hand on the baby's forehead. Your other hand is on the baby's neck and shoulders, then slightly tilt the head back.
Yes, yeah, I've done that.
Put your ear next to the mouth. Can you feel or hear any breathing?
Look, I'm not being... He's gone. He's stone cold and he's gone stiff. Gemma, are you sure you checked him at 5 o'clock?
Okay, so I realise how distressing this must be for you. Do you feel the baby is beyond any help?
Yes. I'm okay.
Just processing that for you.
Sorry, go on, sorry.
Okay, so I'm going to stay on the line with you until help can be with you, okay?
Hello
there. Okay, so help's been organised for you. We're sending someone to assist you. Okay, is there anything else we can do for you or your family?
I don't know. He was fine at 5 o'clock.
Okay, you say he was fine at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, he woke me up at 5. Crying and doing a little moon. So I came and checked on him, and he was curled up at the top of his bed. And so I moved him back down, made him comfy, stroked his face, and he went back to sleep. And I went back to bed. I went to the toilet first, went back to bed, and and I could still hear him doing a little moan, like his little settling down, talking, we call it talking to himself.
Yeah.
And then that was it. Teresa, it's not the landline, I haven't got the landline. Sorry.
Okay, can I just take his name?
It's Jacob Crouch.
Okay, so just hold the line for me one moment. I'm just going to seek some guidance for you. Just stay on the line.
On the morning of December 30th, 2020, 7 a.m., first responders were called to the home in Foxley Chase, Derbyshire, where 10-month-old Jacob lived with his parents. His mother Gemma telling emergency services that Craig had awoken her that morning to say that Jacob was dead. When paramedics arrived on the scene, Gemma and Craig claimed that Jacob didn't take his nighttime bottle before bed the previous night, but that they had checked on him a couple of hours earlier, at 5 a.m, and that Jacob had been fine. They thought that maybe he was just getting the flu and was off his food type thing. But what paramedics found was that rigor mortis had already begun to set in on the little boy's body, leading them to believe that Jacob had been deceased for far longer than the couple had alleged. Once an autopsy was completed, the infant was found to have 39 rib fractures and 19 bruises all over his body. The fractures were all in various stages of healing and had been determined to be sustained on at least 5 separate occasions. Jacob also had several internal injuries that were the result of a vicious attack. The 10-month-old baby had died after he succumbed to a fatal infection of the lining of the abdominal organs caused by a traumatic bowel perforation. The injuries would have been sustained by blunt force trauma, such as a punch, kick, or stomp to his tiny body. It would have made Jacob very unwell in the time leading up to his death. Just days after Jacob's death, Gemma and Craig typed up and sent a rather strange letter to all their neighbours. About 20 to 30 of their neighbours found an envelope placed on their doormats. Now, the fact that they had gotten a letter from the couple was already strange, but the contents of it made it even more confusing. The letter read, "Good evening, neighbours. This is the hardest letter I will ever have to write. To make it easier for us over the coming weeks, we want to take this opportunity to explain why we had first response units, an ambulance, and several police officers at our home Wednesday morning. Devastatingly, we have lost our beautiful 10-month-old baby. We woke up Wednesday morning at 7 to find him no longer with us. 999 was called, but sadly it was too late. We know some people that saw us regularly will ask us where our little boy is, and we do not wish to relive our loss over and over. Thank you for any kind thoughts that you may have, but we are also asking for people not to send us cards, etc. We are in so much pain. Jacob will never be forgotten." Now, rightly so, the neighbours felt empathy for the couple, but they also immediately became wary and suspicious of Craig and Gemma. Why did they feel the need to send this letter out so quickly after Jacob's death? Little did they know that authorities were already investigating his death due to the parents' story not lining up with the evidence. Investigators knew for a fact that Jacob had been deceased for far longer than the couple were claiming. There was just no way he was alive at 7 a.m. and then in rigor mortis 2 hours later. And so, 6 days after Jacob's death, both Gemma Barton and Craig Crouch were placed under arrest. They were charged with murder, causing or allowing the death of a child, causing a child to suffer serious physical harm, and child cruelty.
Just listen to what I'm saying to you. So, Minnie, you're under arrest on suspicion of murder. Listen, you didn't have to say anything, but it may harm the defence if you're not made too many questions and put your line in court. And if you do say, maybe giving in evidence, okay?
Oh my God,
so your arrest is necessary for a prompt and effective investigation, okay?
Gemma, try and breathe for a second. Try and breathe. Right, I'm going to put handcuffs on you, okay?
I promise you, but please don't.
We have to do it with everybody.
Because I've got no shoes or anything.
We can sort that.
I'm just going to put these on.
I can't do it.
Right, hands behind your back.
I'm
Regardless of the evidence, Jacob's mother Gemma was sticking to her story that her son was fine in the hours prior to the 999 emergency services being called. She also claimed that she had not seen any bruises on his body at the time he died. Gemma had denied that she ever hurt her son and described him as a bundle of joy. She claimed that she felt her entire world had ended when she found out that her Jacob had died. Craig also denied hurting the infant too. He said the injuries found on the 10-month-old's body had, quote, nothing to do with him, unquote. Craig insisted he hadn't seen anything, that he loved children and his stepson, that he would have never hurt him. He insinuated that it must have been Gemma who fatally injured Jacob. It's believed that the abuse to Jacob had started back when he was only 4 months old, so it had been going on for 6 months at the time of his death. The adults who were supposed to be nurturing and caring for him. Instead, Craig and Gemma regularly encouraged and applauded each other as they assaulted Jacob. Several text messages between the couple found they often referred to the 10-month-old as the devil. They also fed him his own vomit. One time after Jacob had gotten sick, Craig asked Gemma in a message if she had shoved the vomit back down his throat, and she confirmed that she had. The pair additionally discussed smacking the baby if he cried for no reason. Then there was the time that they joked about bathing him in bleach. In other messages, Craig told Gemma that she needed to be more regimented with Jacob to, quote, not let this take us over, unquote. In a later text, Craig said he was really starting to get pissed off with the little boy, that Jacob was pushing him past his limits, and if things didn't get better soon, he was going to end their relationship. During his interrogation with police, Craig tried to pass off many of these sadistic messages with Gemma as just harmless banter. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. When the pair went to trial in the summer of 2023, the prosecution alleged that they had worked together to abuse and murder little Jacob. The infant had numerous broken ribs, bruises, and a perforated bowel at the time of his death. It's believed that his broken ribs were the result of an adult squeezing them. The prosecution stated that 10-month-old Jacob had suffered regular abuse and a culture of cruelty, all of which ultimately led him dying in his cot alone. And as he lay there dying, neither his mother nor his stepfather sought any medical attention for him. Had they, Jacob might have survived. A forensic pathologist testified that the infant's injuries were the same that you would expect to see in a car crash victim or someone who had fallen from a multiple stories height. And the number of times I've said that phrase or similar on this podcast, it is absolutely disgusting. No child should have injuries that could be described in that manner. Regardless, Craig Crouch continued to deny that he ever hurt the little boy. He also denied that he lied to the police when he said the infant was fine in the days and hours leading up to his death. Craig said that he couldn't, quote, physically work out where some bloodstains on crib sheets in the home had come from, unquote. Craig told the jury that he always loved Jacob, that from the moment he was born, he considered him to be his son. Craig claimed he would regularly cuddle with Jacob and take selfies with him. Additionally, he said he helped Gemma bathe and feed the infant on a regular basis. During the trial, the jury was shown a video of Craig dunking Jacob headfirst into a toddler pool. This was in May of 2020, when he was only 3 months old. Craig denied that this was in an attempt to make Jacob stop crying, and said that if he was actually hurting him, he would not have recorded it. Photos that Gemma and Craig had sent one another of Jacob's injuries were also shown as evidence. This included a picture of the little boy with a nasty bruise on his ear, one where he had marks on his face and hip, and another where he had pinch marks on his thighs. In text messages exchanged between the couple, they would say Jacob, quote, gets bruises all the time, unquote. At the end of the 7-week trial, the jury found 33-year-old Gemma Barton guilty of causing or allowing the death of a child and child cruelty. She was cleared of the murder charges. However, her boyfriend, 39-year-old Craig Crouch, was found guilty of murder as well as the charge of child cruelty. Judge Mr. Justice Kerr stated that during the sentencing, that the night that Jacob died, Gemma had to be aware that her boyfriend brutally attacked her baby, causing life-threatening injuries. Yet she did nothing to help him or save his life. That Jacob would without a doubt have been systematically unwell during his final days and hours alive, and any parent with an ounce of care would have noticed this. Gemma Barton was given a 10-year sentence, and Craig Crouch was sentenced to serve a minimum of 28 years behind bars. Jacob's biological father, Andrew Smith, would give a victim impact statement in court, quote, "I never got to meet him. All I have is a photo to remember him by. I will never get to hug him and celebrate his achievements. I will never be able to buy him his first pint when he turns 18. You have taken Jacob and all the memories we would have shared. The pain will be with me for a lifetime. It will never go away. I can't understand how or why you can inflict the injuries you did. Craig, my boy has some justice, but it will never be enough for his suffering." Unquote. Malcolm Barton also gave a victim impact statement, quote, "Jacob was such a happy little lad. He was sitting on the floor and crawling about. I remember him playing with his great-granddad's walking stick. We have lost the opportunity to see Jacob grow up. We will never see him have his 18th birthday, get married, and have children of his own." Unquote. Jacob would later be described by those who knew and loved him as a happy and playful little boy who was always smiling. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the story we discussed today, or any stories we talk about here on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives Podcast on Facebook, like the page so you don't miss an episode, and join the Stolen Lives discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice and subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.